This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey there, welcome to episode 569 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason Cutter. Welcome. Glad that you're here. Hopefully you tuned in to Barry Erickson from University of Washington's three-part episode conversation that we had on the show. It was amazing. I absolutely loved it. It's one of those things that was really fun because we spoke, we connected through LinkedIn like I do with most of the guests for the show and just building this network of professional sales educators. We hopped on a call and met each other. And by the end of that introductory conversation, he had said, hey, it's the end of our semester next week. I'm ahead of schedule, so I have an open slot where I don't have anything that I need to cover. Would you like to do a guest lecture? And of course, I always love doing that because anytime I can get in front of the future of sales and teach them about authentic persuasion and open their eyes to something that might be a little bit different, might also be in alignment with what they're being taught, always want to do that. It's super exciting. So it was fun because we went from introductory call to me doing a guest lecture on Monday. That I think our first meeting was on a Thursday, went to the Monday, and then had him on the podcast a few weeks later recording. And then that episode, or those episodes, I should say, just dropped. And it was amazing stuff. I really enjoyed the conversation with him because he's coming from a background where, you know, longtime sales and now in the classroom and, you know, not the academic long-term educator, which have some of those on the show. And those are fun because it's a completely different perspective based on a lot of research. Barry's coming at it with a whole lot of stories and a whole lot of experience from what he did. And one of the biggest things that he shared in the first episode around authenticity was don't try to close the deal on the first visit. And I think that's a really big point, is that a lot of people in sales try to go for the kill right away. And again, if you're selling more transactional, short-term, one visit, you know, you're knocking on doors to sell somebody something, then you don't have a choice. Otherwise, don't go for that. Now, if the opportunity's there and you're selling something that might take a couple of conversations and you can close it quicker, then do. People will appreciate it. When it's the right thing to do and the timing is right, then always do it. Imagine your doctor finding out that you have an issue. You want them to tell you and then move forward instead of making you go through hoops. What I don't enjoy as a patient, or let's say a dentist or something like that, which is, okay, we looked at everything. You need to come back so we can tell you the results, and then need to come back so we can then, like, no, stop wasting my time. Stop wasting my money on copays. Just tell me what we need to do and let's do it. Like, if we can figure it out, let's just do it. And I know I'm not alone in that. People feel like time is scarce. It feels like that now more than ever. Maybe it's a post-pandemic thing. I don't know. Maybe it's an everything hitting us all the time, everywhere we go, and there's no way to escape it and just feels like there's constantly things going on. But from a sales perspective, don't focus on closing the deal on the first visit. Again, if you can, that's great. Now, what's interesting is he talks about the fact that the old school mode, the used car salesperson mode, the old school sales, kind of process is to feature dump, right? It's to be a feature dumping slick salesperson, is what he said. So you don't want to do that. You want to focus on being a needs identifier, right? Not a feature presenter, which is what he said back in the 80s. That was the mode, right? Is to present features because people didn't know. There was no internet. They needed you to tell them how things worked. Now people don't need that. There is the internet. I said that last week in the episode 560, is that people don't need you to tell them how something works at scale. Some people still need education, but not at scale. What they're looking for is a needs identifier. That's what how Barry put it. And it's so true. They want your potential buyers, BC, B2B, doesn't matter. They want you to figure out their needs, and then they want you to give them a potential solution or the best solution for it, right? Back in the day, information was scarce. Information is no longer scarce. Information is overly, overly abundant. There's too much information where it's to the point of where I would rather talk to somebody instead of researching endlessly, because I want you to identify my needs, my problems, my pain, my goals, my hopes, my dreams, where I want to go, what will get me there and leave me in a better place. And I want you to be the one, as the professional, to digest all of the stuff that's out there in this one area and tell me what the best solution is. Again, same thing with doctors, right? I don't want to have to figure out all the different possibilities. I want to go to you. I want you to take all of your expertise, and I want you to go through your process to diagnose what's wrong and then to prescribe me the best solution, because that's what I'm paying you for and I'm happy to pay. Same thing with sales, right? Is focusing on that, being a needs identifier. Now, here's what was interesting in part two. We were talking about the ABCs, right? Always be closing and things like that that come up in Glengarry Glen Ross. It's also mentioned in the movie Boiler Room. And it's one of those things where that old school mode of always be closing, like trying to close on the first visit, is just gross most of the time. Here is the big caveat, and he mentioned this, and I wanted to reiterate this, is that you should always be closing the next action that makes sense in the conversation. Here's what I mean, is if you're selling a one call close, right? Again, let's use door knocking example, or somebody, you're selling cell phones, somebody comes into the store, you want to sell them in that one visit and do what you can to help them buy from you and then obviously be a satisfied client and do it with authentic persuasion. A lot of times when people are in professional sales, air quotes, which means they think I'm selling enterprise and this is going to take a long time, or even long sales cycle B2C, like I have some clients that I've worked with who are in the senior housing space, where it could take a year for someone to make a decision to move into a senior community and sell their house and upend their life and everything they've known for 40, 50, 60 years, and then go into this new housing situation, right? Like I've seen that with my own family, with my grandmother and then my grandfather. And so it's a big decision with a long sales cycle. The thing is that in those sales cycles, those people think, oh, well, you sell, you know, one call close, it's a totally different thing. But it's not true. And the reason why, and this is what I train everybody on, is that every single conversation that you have in a sales mode, right, in your sales process, if you're a salesperson talking to a potential customer, each one of those conversations is a self-contained sales process, which means there should be a beginning, a middle, and an end. There should be rapport, there should be empathy, trust, hope, and then urgency. The urgency is the close. Always be closing means closing the best action. Now, on the first visit, it might be closing, all right, let's do another meeting, and then I'm going to show you our product or solution. Or I want to do another meeting. The next meeting is going to be about this and this and this, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to gather these things. I need you to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then here's when I want to have that meeting. And so you're closing something. Every conversation, you're closing something. If you're not, you're an order taker. So think of like another example, which would be relationships, which a lot of people can relate to. This is why I say everything in life is sales, is that imagine you go out on a first date with somebody, right? There's the super gross way of people like putting lots of pressure and, you know, imagine a first date, it goes well. You're like, hey, I think we should, be committed to each other. I think we should be married or this and that. Like, it's just too much, right? You're not there. You're trying to close the deal on the first visit, and that's just not going to work. And if it does work, I promise you're not going to be happy with what you get, but that's a totally different thing. The key is that, but you want to close the next action. Like, hey, I had a nice time with you. I would like to do this again. Is that something you're interested in? Great. I'm looking forward to it, right? A lot of times people say, hey, that was fun. Maybe I'll chat with you later. And then they walk away and they're just being weak. And the same thing with sales, right? Be like, hey, you have the information. Let me know if you want a demo. Bye. Right? And then they just kind of fade off into being a very unsuccessful salesperson. And so you always want to be focusing on what is the action that is the next step in the process, and then how do you get that commitment? How do you close on that? And I think that's an amazing lesson to take, is that every conversation you have, you need to treat that as a sales process. If it's one conversation, you're trying to close that one deal, then how do you do that in that? But again, it's not closing the whole deal. You're not wanting them to sign the contract and then swipe their credit card or pay the invoice. You're closing the next action. And I think a lot of people in sales miss that. They either go for too much right away, or they're not closing anything. Like, they're just terrible closers who get to the end of a call, of a demo, of a discovery session, of a whatever, and they didn't close anything. They left it so open-ended. There's no hope or chance or guarantee or anything that anything is going to come from that. And they left it so open-ended. So if that's you, obviously take some notes from that and apply that and say, how do I do that? And in my process, what do I want to close? What's the next step? I need you to grab this. I'm going to do this. Let's meet here. I need you to talk to your boss. I'm going to send you this. We're going to go over this. Like, I want you to, like, whatever it is, there's usually, if you have to have another conversation, there's usually some homework that somebody needs to do, that somebody needs to take an action. Maybe that's me. I'm going to do research about your company. I'm going to put together the best demo that makes sense based on what you told me. I want to present that to you on our next meeting. Are you available Tuesday or Wednesday, morning or afternoon, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? Sounds good. Let's do 4 o'clock on Wednesday. I'll send you the invite. I'm going to do my homework on my side and I'll talk to you then. Is there any reason or anything you can think of that might get in the way on Wednesday of us being able to meet? Anything else that might come up on your schedule? No? Great. Talk to you Wednesday at four, right? Like that kind of stuff. You want to be closing that next action because somebody has homework and then we're going to commit to the next thing. So huge lesson from that. I just love that. I think it's so important. I think so many people miss the mark on that. Because again, they're either going so strong or they're just leaving it so open-ended. It's crazy. Another thing that he talked about that I think is important that is a theme, officially a theme in more of these conversations that I have is all about confidence. Part of what these university programs are doing by helping someone and teaching them about sales, there's the art and the science, but there's also the confidence. When I first heard about these programs, I'm like, you can't teach someone sales. That's crazy. And then I realized, yes, you can, because you can give them the fundamentals. Like taking someone, let's say, because sports comes up a lot in these analogies, and I'm thinking about it now, where it's like, okay, well, I want to get good at baseball. Then I'm going to go to a baseball camp, and we're going to learn all the fundamentals of baseball in a camp setting with exercises and routines and practice and just like hitting balls and fielding balls and like throwing and just all of those things. Now, will that make me an expert when I get into a game? No, but I've got a level of confidence and a whole bunch of tools that I didn't have before and now I'm ready. And that's where the value of these programs come in, which is helping someone, the fundamentals, the tools, and enough practice and experience, role-playing, competitions, actually selling products on behalf of the university so they have real-world experience and building that confidence. And so that's important. If you're running a company and you have salespeople, you're listening to this, A, obviously reach out to these schools that are running these programs so that you can leverage the students coming out of that as somebody with confidence and experience, but also look at your own training and what are you doing to build the confidence of your salespeople in your organization. Again, a lot of companies give product-focused training and say, here's our product, we're amazing, everyone should want us, here's what we do that's better than everyone else, here's our one pager, here's our demo, here's this, here's that, now go. And they have this like, that salesperson has this false confidence built on the fact that the company thinks they're amazing, but in the real world, nobody cares, right? Until you make sure that they care. And so what happens is there's this kind of false confidence, but not necessarily a selling effectiveness confidence, not a sales process confidence, just a like we're amazing confidence. And then what happens is that salesperson goes out there and someone says, no, I don't think this is great, or no, I'm not interested. And then that confidence and belief in the company and the product or solution then starts to fade, right? And then you have this person who no longer believes what they were taught in training, or you know, the effect of drinking the Kool-Aid is wearing off. And so make sure you're focusing on the confidence, not just of the product or the service, but of the person, the people. That's why I say it's H to H, right? It's human to human, is you've got to make sure to take care of your humans and make sure to give them the confidence. And that confidence comes with practice, it comes with experience, it comes with skill sets and mindset and the toolbox and all of those kind of buzzy buzzwords in the sales training world. But it's really true, right? Is having the confidence in themselves. And here's the biggest thing. This is what I've learned forever, is that confidence then comes out in being able to listen and talk to people without having a specific internal agenda and without worrying about what you're going to say next. It's all about that conversation. So I think those were some great lessons from the conversation with Barry Erickson from the University of Washington. if you're checking this one out and you didn't check out his and you're just trying to get to the cliff notes of things, that's fair. Time is precious. I listen to podcasts at like 1.5 to 2 times speed, so I totally get that. But please make sure to go back and check out his 3-part series, Authenticity, Persuasion, and the Future of Sales, whichever might resonate with you most, or check out all of them. And please make sure to support this. Not just liking this and subscribing on the podcast, wherever you found this, on YouTube, on social media, like not just for my sake, but really to get more of this out there. I really want to overwhelm the world with positive professional sales content that will help shift the way sales is done. And it's not that there's a lot of gross sales stuff out there. So it's not even a good media versus bad media. It's like, it's not positive versus negative. This isn't like the news where it's like, hey, let's get more positive stories about, you know, puppies being saved to offset all the stories about politics and war and all that. Like, this isn't that kind of mode. It's that there's this kind of content that's out there. And then there's not much out there supporting the bad way it's done, but people just aren't aware and they don't know what they don't know. And so they just default to what they're being taught or what they think it takes or just their own primal way of thinking sales is done. So please support this, support everything you can. Any of this kind of content out there, doesn't matter who's creating it. There's 8 billion people on the planet. There's so many other people out there like myself. Just support this kind of content, share it, like it, get it out there, become a part of this, and let's just change the way that sales is done.